In your face. I am thrilled to have Jamel Hakim in the studio to chat about the Euphoria Foundation. Jamel, welcome back to 3CR.
Thank you, James. It's so good to be back here.
Always. It's so great to see you. Love your work with the creative communities here in Melbourne, bringing community together, which really is what the Euphoria Foundation is all about, community connections. Tell us all about it.
That's right. And look, this has been building over time. Previously, Euphoria Social started from the grassroots to create spaces for people who didn't feel like they belong. And we all know a little bit about that, don't we?
Absolutely. And it's grown in recent years. It kind of sprung out of a pandemic, right? That's now right. Become a foundation. It does incredible work. Tell us a bit about what you do.
Yeah, so to the core of it, Euphoria Foundation, founded by T and Emma, and it's a community-led LGBTQIA PN Plus organization. It's focused on connection, belonging, education, and preventative well-being. So established in 2022 as Euphoria Social. Now it's actually going to DGR status. So we're applying for DGR status. It's an incorporated association. It's all volunteer-based. So no one's being paid. Everyone's bringing in their volunteer skills to support it. And the focus is on creating opportunities for people to really connect with each other and strengthen those community networks. I'll share with you, James, for example, at the 314 event we had last year, which is, of course, all about queer health and well-being. I met people who just arrived in Melbourne, had no friends, and just showed up. And by the end of the day, they had new friends that they'd made, and everyone was welcoming, open, and it was just really heartening to see. That's exactly what it's about.
I love the fact that it's LGBTIQA plus PN. Tell us about the PN.
Well, it's all about creating inclusivity. And so that's the whole point, is like, how do we make sure that everyone feels like it's part of it? Identify differently. And I think what T and Emma sought out to do from the very beginning is make sure that everyone feels like they've got a place. And that's what Euphoria Foundation is. It's not trying to be the biggest. It's not trying to be there for every single person. There's so many of us who have different spaces. It's what it's trying to do is to create a space for those who don't feel like they fit in, or they don't have a space where they can come out and, you know, connect with people.
I love Euphoria's social media posts, and it really conveys that diversity. It's not homogenous in any way, and I love that. I also love its strong arts focus. Yep. You know, it certainly has that. And so it brings together two dimensions that are really under attack at the moment with the rise of the far right and the growth of One Nation, which is diversity.
That's right.
And also the arts. Can you talk a bit about that? Because I think the organization becoming a foundation is really important at this time.
That's correct. And that's why we're actually holding on the 12th of September, coming Saturday in a couple of weeks, at Fitzroy North from 11 to 2. We're holding our very first 314 Multicultural Community Festival. That diversity for our community, the multiculturalism, and as a queer Arab, like, this is something that is really important for me. It's like, how do we showcase our diverse communities within our queer communities and ensure that everyone's got a voice and everyone feels like they belong, no matter where you come from, no matter what is going on across the board. And you're right, One Nation and what's going on right now globally, particularly in the US, is dividing us. It's actually creating environments where, particularly for trans people, for example, they're feeling unsafe, and safe spaces are becoming rarer. And so we've got to bring the arts to it. The arts are the way we can communicate with our communities and a society in general, and actually come together as human beings, recognize what we are as well in our multifaceted, you know, diverse ways, to our queerness, our Arabness, our religious affiliations as well. You know, the Muslim Arab community who've been involved, and the Muslim Asian community who've been involved, I've seen through 314 and other spaces now coming up, which is fantastic. That's important because we've got to show we're not all just this homogenous group. Ultimately, diversity is actually a beautiful thing, but we all have a common thing. We all want to live peacefully. We all want to have a roof above our heads. We all want to have good company. And we've got to build it. Like, when it's not there, let's build it and learn from, you know, our trans brothers and sisters who started so many of these movements.
One of the trademark moves, if you like, of fascism is attacking the arts. You must be conscious of them, and you've got a political background. You must be really conscious of that, and that must be something that really kind of, you know, is in the back of your mind as a director of the Euphoria Foundation, because organisations like yours will potentially be attacked if One Nation gets in.
That's right. No, we're very conscious of that already with Trump and what you see online, the hate that comes up on posts. And that's why creating safe space is important. Using art and platforms that allow people to express for themselves becomes even more important. And this is a danger we've got to ask ourselves. If people who are sprouting hate and using culture wars like Pauline Hanson, like Trump, and get into power, it's going to get worse. It's not just for those who are queer, not just people who are trans, not just for our LGBT community, for our broader community. I mean, they come for us first because it's the easy targets, but they're coming next for everybody else.
You mentioned, of course, you know, that you're a queer Arab. And one of the things that I love about emerging communities here in Melbourne are groups like, you know, Queer Muslim Naam, for example. What kind of a pipeline does Euphoria Social, Euphoria Foundation, as it now is, have with other kind of, you know, activist organisations, if you like? Because you are an activist organisation as well as being an arts and community organisation, right?
Oh, it's funny you say that. Well, I don't think we see ourselves as an activist organisation per se. You know, I think it's maybe the reality of our lives as queer people is it's an activist's life. It's political, right? Ultimately, it's like saying art is not political. It is political. When you aren't allowed to say what you think or what you feel, it becomes political. So I guess that's true. But definitely what we're doing is working towards building things across the entire calendar that give people the opportunity to come together to experience the practice of the 314 movement, for example, which is around gratitude, it's around breathing, it's around having purpose. And things like Lanterns of Pride is something we're building next year. We know during Midsummer will come during Lunar New Year. So we're working on a Lanterns of Pride event as well with our LGBTQIA PN Plus focus. So it's really about that cultural identity, connection and belonging for everyone, and how do we create spaces for that. So anyone who wants to get involved can get involved. You know, we've got obviously a membership program that allows people to support because it's all volunteer led, and we always welcome people who want to put things together and, you know, give a helping hand.
I'm fascinated by the 314 movement. What can you tell us about it, like its origins?
Yes. Look, this came about, and I have to credit T so much for this. They wanted to make sure that there's a space where for queer people around our mental well-being, there's a conversation that's had. Like, we don't talk about that in particularly from a queer perspective. And we talk about mental health from a variety of perspectives. We have, you know, there's lots of different ways that it comes about, but there's no one day where we actually recognize mental health for LGBTQIA PN plus people. So that's where 314 came together. And as a board, when T first came in and said, I'd like to do this. And we thought, you know, how does this fit in with the rest of Euphoria Social and how we're bringing people together? And in fact, it completely fits in.
Totally. I mean, that's a big part of, you know, queer health, really, is the focus on community, but also what kind of, you know, emerges through community, which is arts, which is performance, which is social events. And I see this thread constantly, you know, of queer mental health running through all kinds of organisations in the health sphere and in the art sphere and in the community sector generally.
Exactly. And 314 isn't meant to be a counselling or clinical mental health support space, but it's about how do we allow that to be used widely across the community and connect those spaces, because that's really important. So without social connection, without combating loneliness in our communities, and without having conversations, we don't allow people to get to those services. I've spoken to mentored a lot of young people who have said, I don't know how to get to those services, particularly in more conservative communities, say in the Arab community or the Muslim community. And there's a lot of sort of homophobia that's hidden, particularly self-hate. And in helping people who don't understand that because of espoused conservative values that are projected onto them by community at large as well, and not necessarily coming from religion or culture back in places like Lebanon, for example, where there's a thriving queer scene. We've got to create a space where they can have those conversations and know where the services are. And so when you give social license and social space where you can talk, then people can seek the help they need. And that's very important.
Well, people are so disconnected at the moment, which is so bizarre because we're all, you know, connected on our phones, you know.
It's like a shallow connection, isn't it? It's just like face value through social media.
Well, people don't know where to go because so many of the places to go to actually don't exist. They're just kind of, you know, constructs online. And so that's why your organization is so vital, Euphoria Foundation, because it's actually a real organization, real places, real people, real meetings. And that is just so important. It's so invaluable at the moment. And we need to be more diverse with how we do that. And you are.
Thank you. No, and that's so important in real life. And I know online community is so important to building safe spaces, but actually also being able to go somewhere where you know you don't have to do anything. You don't have to partake in anything. You can sit on the side, you can have a quiet zone, or you can go in and talk to a random and everybody will be welcoming. That's what Euphoria Foundation does. I know the first time I met T and Emma and saw their first event, I went to the first ever event as a counselor and I went, wow, you're creating a space. You're not here to do anything but create a space where people feel safe to engage in whatever way they want. And there's been learnings along the way and that's built. And I guess that's the transition from Euphoria Social to Euphoria Foundation. And this is where the event around, I guess, the People's Choice Awards and the gala.
I was going to ask you about that because, I mean, it is just gone whoosh. You know, it happens during Pride Month, a lot on during Pride Month, got to add. But tell us about the People's Choice Awards because they are really lovely.
It's continued to build and get stronger and stronger. Like the whole idea behind it, I think, really simply, if I can put it this way, is a lot of people in the queer community don't get a chance to put on a tux or dress up and go to a nice dinner and celebrate. Often it's priced out for a lot of people. And what T and Emma wanted to do at the time in our conversation is let's create the space where people who don't normally go to these things get a chance to. And also let's celebrate community by community. We're really, from day one, no award is given by the board or by T or Emma or any of the volunteers. It's actually community making the decisions on who's being given an award, who should be recognized, who is being nominated. And so we're finding ourselves actually opening nominations earlier and earlier because people want to have a go, want to put people forward, and it's fantastic. And what you see on the night is just an explosion of life, of love, and people coming together. And I've met so many people at each gala, and it's always been wonderful. It's a space where you can dress up, you can have fun, you can celebrate as a community, but celebrate some wonderful things people are doing. It's actually almost, you forget who are the winners. Everyone's a winner in that room, and everyone who's been nominated has been nominated by someone who thinks value of them and thinks that they've done something tremendous, and that's what's important.
What I love about it as well is it's happening during Pride Month and there is just so much on, like the weekend of the People's Choice Awards. There were so many events happening. And I guess for organisers on one level, that's a bit of a pain. But on the other hand, for the community, there's so many options, which is kind of what we need, you know, options for face-to-face connections. Because, I mean, we were talking before. I mean, I remember once there was the Also Foundation's directory, you know, and you could go through that and there would be, you know, a list of social groups, you know, as long as your arm. And there's still directories floating around there, but everything seems to have shrunk. And so that's why I think this kind of, you know, focus that you have is so important.
That's right, yeah. And I think this is what's happened. I think the pandemic had a big impact on people's social lives. They didn't recover. We haven't recovered, to be honest, like everywhere. And this came out of the pandemic, I guess, as a way to bring back social connection. But how do you make sure these things are sustainable? And that's what's important. And the whole idea behind this is actually empowering volunteers and others to come forward. T and Emma have been so good at just saying, actually, we're founders, but we don't own this thing. We all as a community own this, and everyone is welcome to come in and start building as part of this. And that's why you see this kind of go and explore. But really, Euphoria Foundation, the vision is to build a well-being movement for LGBTQI people. That's the point.
Jamel, just quickly, I have to ask you this. You were on Melbourne City Council. Do you miss politics?
Well, I have to say, not really. I've got to say, the state of politics gets worse and worse. I am so glad not to necessarily be in there. I do feel that we do need to do something about getting good people into politics, non-politicians. We need people who aren't career politicians in politics. And we do need to start changing the conversation so that this corrosive, divisive language and culture wars that are being fought by the One Nation needs to stop.
Jamel Hakim from the Euphoria Foundation, always great to see you at 3CR. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks, James. 3CR.